Dear Chairman, dear colleagues, it's a great pleasure for me to be here and talk about the new risk stratification tools in ICD patients. I will primarily focus on patients with preserved ejection fraction. Disclosures. So current guidelines for use of ICDs to prevent sudden cardiac death are primarily based on a measurement of left ventricular ejection fraction. Although reduced ejection fraction is associated with increased total cardiac mortality after MI, the focus of current guidelines on ejection fraction omits approximately 50% of patients who will die suddenly. Thus, left ventricular ejection fraction is neither sensitive nor specific as a tool for post-MI risk stratification. You are all aware of the old data from Meyerburg dated back in 1998. On the left-hand side, you see the incidences of sudden cardiac death. On the right-hand side, the total events. We all covered the lower portion of the diagram with all the landmark studies that have been published and are now transferred into guidelines. However, the upper part, the majority of total cardiac deaths are not yet covered, and we have to risk stratify those patients in order to prevent sudden cardiac death. And I will mainly focus on these patients with preserved ejection fraction. We have already seen that slide from a previous speaker. This is the cause-specific mortality in a randomized trial in patients with preserved ejection fraction presenting with heart failure. You see three different trials, iPreserve, CHARM, and the TOPC trial. And altogether, sudden cardiac death is the most common single mode of death in heart failure preserved ejection fraction patients, constituting 40% of cardiovascular deaths and almost 25% of sudden cardiac deaths. So the risk stratification tools that has been proposed in the past are shown here. And as you all know, the vast majority of them has not been shown to be beneficial in patients to risk stratify them in order to prevent sudden cardiac death. So today, we mainly focus on left ventricular ejection fraction. Of note, these parameters have never been tested prospectively in a randomized trial in patients with preserved ejection fraction, and studies are ongoing in order to test these parameters in patients with preserved ejection fraction. So where's the great need for risk stratification for sudden cardiac death, and we have to look into other tools. This flowchart shows potential techniques that may be used in order to improve risk stratification. And due to time constraints, I want to focus on two different techniques. The first technique are the clinical factors in order to risk stratify patients with preserved ejection fraction. With one study that has been published so far, it's the predetermined study. That's a prospective observational cohort study. And here you see the 4-year cumulative incidence of each mode of death stratified by ejection fraction. Altogether, 5,700 patients, ejection fractions above 30%, and all of them are patients with stable coronary artery disease, the vast majority of New York heart failure class 1, 80%. And as you can see, the cumulative incidence of sudden cardiac death shown on the left-hand side is highest in those patients with the lowest ejection fraction. The same is true for New York heart classification. Patients with the highest New York heart classification have again also the highest sudden cardiac death rate. If you put the data in proportional risk of sudden arrhythmic death, as shown here in this slide, we have a 4 years follow-up number of sudden cardiac death, 114, that is 20% of sudden cardiac death. You see that patients aged below 60 years have the highest proportional risk of sudden cardiac arrhythmia death, and also those patients with mainly preserved ejection fraction have a higher risk of sudden cardiac arrhythmic death as compared to the total group or the other subgroups, as shown here. On the bottom, you see the percentage reduction in overall mortality assumed you have implanted an ICD. That means a 29% risk reduction in the subgroup of patients aged below 60 years. A brand new paper that has been presented online in Heart Rhythm Journal is shown here, that also uses six parameters shown here in order to risk stratify patients with a preserved ejection fraction. The derivated sample trial that has been used in order to model a risk score was the iPreserve trial, and these data had been put into the TOPCAT trial, the sample size, 615 patients, in order to validate this risk score. The sudden cardiac risk score was calculated from estimated regression coefficients in the fine-grained competing risk model. And the sudden cardiac death risk score above 5.3 had a more than 10% individual predicted risk of sudden cardiac death over the next 5 years of follow-up. So this was called the high-risk group, and they made 35% of sudden cardiac death. And as you can see, this is a comparison of the estimated 5-year cumulative incidence of sudden cardiac death in patients with high risk versus low risk. And this is the validation cohort, and this is the derivative cohort. You can see that in the high-risk group, sudden cardiac death at 5 years cumulative incidence averaged 15% as compared to only 3% in those patients who have been calculated to be in the low-risk group. The next focus I want to do on late gadolinium enhancement using CMR and T1 mapping in order to risk stratify patients to prevent sudden cardiac death. We differentiate between replacement fibrosis that describes discrete areas of myocyte cell death, and this is translated in late gadolinium enhancement in order from interstitial fibrosis that is usually explored by T1 mapping. Here you see an example, replacement fibrosis, interstitial fibrosis, and on the left-hand side you see a healthy control. On the right-hand side you see a patient with non-ischemic dilated cardiomyopathy. On the top, late gadolinium enhancement, and on the bottom you see the T1 mapping studies. Again, this is a slide from a patient where you have late gadolinium enhancement, and on the right-hand side, upper corner, you see the T1 native mapping. On the bottom, the T1 post-contrast mapping, and on the right-hand side, on the bottom, you see the extracellular cardiac volume mapping that is also used in those patients where you cannot identify late gadolinium enhancement in order to differentiate those, these patients from to have fibrosis present or not. So if we look back to the Danish data, and you are all aware of them, you know that in these trial, including patients with ejection fraction below 35%, there was no difference in total mortality in the non-ischemic patient cohort, as shown on the slide on the left-hand side. Putting data in the context of the Danish trial, a propensity-matched cohort has been published, constituting out of 452 patients with an ejection fraction below 35%, New York Heart Classification 2 and 3 in non-ischemic cardiomyopathy patients with a follow-up of 38 months. On my left-hand side, you see similar data as has been published in the Danish trial, where there was no significant difference from freedom from all-cause mortality between patients who received an ICD versus those patients who did not receive an ICD implantation. However, if we look at SCAR and differentiate these patients from freedom of all-cause mortality, there's a highly significant difference between those patients presenting with SCAR that had a much higher total mortality as compared to those patients who did not present with a SCAR on cardiac imaging. If we further stratify these patients in patients who had no SCAR, the two slides, Kaplan-Meier curves on the top, as compared to patients on the bottom who have SCAR positive outcome, you see that there was no significant difference in all-cause mortality in those patients who presented SCAR negative at the very beginning. However, there was a huge difference in survival benefit in those patients who received an ICD and were SCAR positive. So, unfortunately, in the Danish trial, we have no data available for cardiac imaging, so we do not know the details if patients who have would have been SCAR positive would have benefited from an ICD, so we do not know the data. This is, to my knowledge, the only single trial. It's not a randomized trial that has been so far published, looking into detail and comparing SCAR positive versus SCAR negative in patients with reduced ejection fraction below 35% and in non-ischemic cardiomyopathy patients. Here you see data, five-year risk estimates of a primary endpoint. This is ejection fraction only, and you see if we stratify in 400 patients with preserved ejection fraction, that means above 40%, you see that the sudden cardiac death risk for the primary endpoint is 8% if we just use ejection fraction alone. If we look at no late gadolinium enhancement, there is only a death rate of 3%. However, if we use the positive SCAR detection of late gadolinium enhancement, we see a 20% five-year risk of the primary endpoint in those 400 patients with non-ischemic cardiomyopathy and of a total of 400 patients. Another study from DiMarco, that is a meta-analysis, including 29 studies in almost 3,000 patients, also looked at the annual rate of the arrhythmic endpoint according to the status of late gadolinium enhancement. And as you can see, there was no significant difference between the primary endpoint, arrhythmic endpoint, regardless if ejection fraction was below 35% or if it was above 35%. So it looks like that the presence of SCAR is the most important factor in order to risk stratify patients who are prone to sudden cardiac death. And another study looked at the presence of late gadolinium enhancement and the outcome in non-ischemic dilated cardiomyopathy patients. Those is a study of around 900 patients. And as you can see, even small decrease of late gadolinium enhancement were associated with sudden cardiac death. And if we look at the location, you can see that obviously, septal location of late gadolinium enhancement was associated with a higher risk of sudden cardiac death as other locations. And if we look at the pattern, it was the subepicardial pattern distribution that was associated with the highest risk of sudden cardiac arrhythmic death. And this again has been put together in another meta-analysis, now constituting 34 studies in 4,500 patients, including non-ischemic and ischemic patients. And here you see the combined endpoint of ventricular tachyarrhythmic events in correlation to the presence of late gadolinium enhancement. And there is clear evidence that obvious the presence of late gadolinium enhancement representing scar in these patients is associated with a higher risk of sudden cardiac arrhythmic death. And of note is this data that reflects to the remodeling of left ventricular sizes. You can see that only if scar as expressed by late gadolinium enhancement was absent, only those patients had a chance of left ventricular remodeling as compared to those patients who presented with scar, where almost in all of the patients remodeling was not observed. This led us to construct a multicenter prospective randomized study, the so-called CMR guide study that is headed in Australia from Joseph, and where are also centers in Germany and also in UK who are participating in that study. And they are focusing on patients with an ejection fraction of between 46 and 50% that has been assessed by echocardiography. And they include also non-ischemic cardiomyopathy patients as well as ischemic cardiomyopathy patients. And we look first on the MR, on fibrosis or scar, and we need a number of more than 1,000 patients in order to calculate the primary endpoint. So if no fibrosis scar is present, we follow up these patients in a registry. If fibrosis or scar is present, then we randomize those patients either to an implantable cardiac defibrillator or to an implantable loop recorder. The study is funded and by Biotronic, and the primary endpoint is a composite of sudden cardiac death or hemodynamically significant ventricular arrhythmia producing syncope. So we are on the way. 2/3 of the patients have been enrolled in that study, and I think we need another 2 years in order to get the enrollment ready, and also the follow-up will take another 3 years for this patient group. So in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, current research demonstrates the inadequacy of a risk stratification algorithm that is primarily based on left ventricular ejection fraction alone. And it clearly demonstrates the importance of developing a more sensitive, specific, and cost-effective approach. The presence of late gadolinium enhancement on CMR imaging is associated with a significant and relevant increase in the risk of ventricular arrhythmias or sudden cardiac death in patients, either idiopathic or non-idiopathic cardiomyopathy. Randomized controlled trials are in need to demonstrate that the patients with ischemic or non-ischemic cardiomyopathy and late gadolinium enhancement could benefit from a primary prevention ICD regardless of left ventricular ejection fraction. However, we have to look in the future, and not only late gadolinium enhancement is the only positive answer. So I think that in the future, multicenter prospective registries and randomized trials incorporating CMR imaging, genetic factors, biomarkers, and autonomic dysfunction in unselected non-ischemic cardiomyopathy patients and cohorts should be the next step in the pursuit of improved risk stratification with the aim of creating a multivariable risk score that can accurately discriminate between the risk of sudden cardiac death and non-sudden cardiac death. I thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Werner. Excellent presentation. I think we are almost running out of time. So if there is one very urgent question, I would give you 1 minute. But there is one urgent question, one urgent, very short answer.
Yeah, Kostas Gadzoulis, University of Athens, Greece. You are not referring to PreserVF study that used Holter and late potentials in a two-step EP-inclusive approach that detected truly high-risk patients with limited myocardial infarction with an ejection fraction 50%. We put defibrillators in 37 out of 575 patients with these characteristics without MRI, and we detected the real high-risk population because the device was activated in 9 out of 37 of them in 32 months of follow-up. It's not a randomized trial, but it's a very important prospective observational study. The DETERMINE study was stopped prematurely in the coronary artery disease post-myocardial infarction population supported by St. Jude Medical and did not show the right guidance. The CMR guide is an excellent study, and I'm glad it's supported by Biotronic, but it has a mixed population of patients, dilated and coronary artery disease post-MI population. And the 200 patients that are randomized in each group, I'm afraid, will not give you an answer.
Thank you for your comments. So I'm aware of your two publications in those patients where you put in the Holter ECG data and signal average ECG data in patients with preserved ejection fraction. I told at the beginning, due to time constraints, I couldn't get into much detail in that specific area. But I mentioned that there's ongoing studies there looking at the traditional risk factors in order to risk stratify patients with preserved ejection fraction. The DETERMINE study has not been followed up because of the poor enrollment rate. That was due to the fact that the radiologists didn't really work together with the cardiologists in the US. This was the main reason why St. Jude quit the study, so there was no data available. For your third point, raising up the limitations of the CMR guide study, for me, the main reason, the main drawback is the primary endpoint, because that is only sudden cardiac death. But to have a total mortality endpoint, we have to put in at least 2,500 patients. And if we now look back how long it takes to enroll patients in that study, I would say we probably would, it would take five up to 10 years to enroll these patients. So we have pre-stratified patients with non-ischemic and ischemic cardiomyopathy, and we are sure that the sample size calculation is enough to look at sudden cardiac death, not at total mortality. Total mortality is a secondary endpoint.